You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast. This is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's broadcast. The program originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. Yes, he'll call me from it all someday. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. But how wonderful it is to know that through the Lord Jesus Christ we can have eternal life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for giving your Son, him giving his life, so that we could have life. And we're thankful for the privilege of sharing the good news with this precious congregation today. We're trusting, Heavenly Father, that wherever our broadcast is heard, the Holy Spirit will be there to make it a blessing to each and to every one. We also pray for the needs of our congregation. We do live in a needy world. There are those that are sick and suffering in body. There are those that have temporal needs and spiritual needs. And we know that you are a God of love, and you're no respecter of persons. So remember our precious congregation today. May you minister to them and to their needs. And Father, help us as we endeavor to make this broadcast service, that it will indeed be used of thee to be a blessing to souls. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, come to the Savior, thou poor, weary soul. 'Tis Jesus invites thee to come. By the power of his blood, would he not fit thee to be lost in the light, in eternity's night, to sink in despair and in woe. But such is thy doom, if thou turn
solemn song. I trust that it touched your heart. Our subject for today is Beyond the Tomb, and our text of scripture is taken out of the book of Job, chapter 14 and verse 14. If a man die, shall he live again? If a man die, shall he live again? The Bible is the only book that clearly reveals our nature and unlocks the mysteries of eternity. It lifts the curtain and gives us a look beyond the tomb. And that's a quote from the late H.M. Riggle. And I would like to read it again. The Bible is the only book that clearly reveals our nature and unlocks the mysteries of eternity. It lifts the curtain and gives us a look beyond the tomb. We are living in time. Yes, when the Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, it was not talking about God's beginning. He had no beginning. but the beginning of time, the beginning of His creative acts. To us, life is the greatest gift, outside, of course, of salvation, for without this, all other earthly blessings would profit us nothing. In fact, we wouldn't be if it were not for the fact that God has given us life. There is a purpose in life. Yes, there is a purpose in life. Some people may throw up their hands, as it were, and say, "What's it all about?" And they may not understand. But there is a purpose in life. God placed us here to glorify Him. I made man for my glory. So man is here to glorify God. The Apostle Paul said, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, the nature of man in his present state, and there is much controversy about this in the religious world, I realize, but the Scriptures places man upon a plane above the rest of earthly creation. Yes, man was created as the highest of anything God created on this earth. So the Scriptures places man upon a plane above the rest of earthly creation. In every person, there is something that is akin to God, something which separates him from all other creatures, so that they can comprehend, so that they can know, and so that they can love God. No animal possesses this capacity. So I reject the idea of these things that they teach that they're either vegetable, mineral, or animal. And I know as far as the schools are concerned, they teach those things. But I reject the idea that man is a part of the animal kingdom as far as God's creation is concerned. God did indeed make all of the animals, but He did not make man an animal. He made man above the animals. Yes, man is the highest creation of God here on earth. No animal possesses the capacity to comprehend, to understand, to love God, and to serve God. Man is both spirit and flesh. And again, I know there's much controversy in the religious world about that, but man is both spirit and flesh, soul and body. God made man just a little lower than the angels, we are told. And the angels are ministering spirits. So God made man just a little lower than the angel. Don't try to make the word spirit mean wind in all verses. Yes, I know. They go back to the Hebrew, and they say that the word spirit means wind. But don't try to make all of the Scriptures that uses the word spirit to mean wind. You'll make yourself ridiculous. For instance, the Bible tells us that God is a spirit. Jesus told the woman at the well in Samaria, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we read in the book of Job, chapter 32 and verse 8, there is a spirit in man. And we read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 9, God is the Father of spirits. I did not get my spirit or soul from my parents. Do you not remember what Jesus told Nicodemus? He told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so God, who is spirit, God is a spirit, and God is the Father of spirits. If it had not have been for God bringing your spirit, your soul into existence, you would not be a person today. Your parents gave you earthly birth, physical birth, yes, but God gave you the Spirit. And the Bible teaches us that the body without the Spirit is dead. So the body is separate from the spirit. The spirit is separate from the body as far as being in existence. It is true the spirit is in man until death comes. And then, of course, the spirit leaves the body. So God is the Father of spirits, and there is a spirit in every one. Man is indeed twofold. He is mortal, Webster says, in regard to mortal, subject to death. As a penalty for sin, God decreed this. Dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19. And that's talking about the physical man and not the spirit. Jesus taught spiritual birth was the only way into the kingdom of God. Yes, in his conversation with Nicodemus, he not only told Nicodemus, you must be born again, but he also told Nicodemus that that was the only way into the kingdom of God. And by the way, that shows us that the kingdom of God is spiritual. To be born into a literal kingdom, you'd have to be fleshly born, of course. But to be born into the kingdom of God, you must experience a spiritual birth, which tells us that the kingdom of God is not material things, it's not meat and drink, but it is a spiritual kingdom. Jesus also said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, the present state of spiritual death and spiritual life proves that the spirit of man is distinct from the body. Let me repeat that. A present state of spiritual death and spiritual life proves that the spirit of man is distinct from the body. Remember, God told Adam, in the day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you shall die. But we know that Adam lived, from a physical standpoint, hundreds of years after he disobeyed God and ate of the fruit of the tree. Yet God said, in the day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you shall die. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 6 and 23, the wages of sin is death. And the Lord said through the prophet Ezekiel 18 and 4, that all souls were his, and he said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. In the day that thou eatest thereof, that is of the tree of life in the midst of the garden, thou shalt surely die. And so spiritual death comes whenever a person willingly and knowingly sins against God. But when they do that, that does not mean that they die physically. They do not die physically, but the spirit dies. Now, what do we mean by spiritual death? We do not mean that it ceases to exist, but it is separated from God. It is separated from the source of spiritual life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so, a soul that is guilty of sin is a soul that is existing in the state of death, in a state separated from God. But now, on the other hand, those who have been truly saved, born of the Spirit of God, they have spiritual life. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2 and 1, you hath he quickened, you hath he resurrected, you hath he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Paul goes on in Ephesians 2 and tells us what he's talking about when he speaks about resurrection from death to life. He's talking about salvation, for by grace are ye saved. And Christ has raised us up together and made us sit together with him in heavenly places. Now, we also read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life. How do we know that we have passed from death unto life? First of all, we know because God has forgiven us of our sins. Secondly, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we do have life. Now, you've read in the scriptures about Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus dying, and he was dead for 4 days. And Jesus resurrected him from the dead. Don't you think that Lazarus knew whenever Christ raised him from the dead. Don't you think he knew that he was alive? Of course he did. And so whenever you are dead in trespasses and sins, God forgives you and he resurrects you. He gives you spiritual life. You can say with John, we know that we have passed from death unto life. Again, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So there are people doubtless listening to this broadcast service at this time. Some are alive and some are dead. That's why Jesus said in John 5, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. In other words, those who are dead in trespasses and sins, hearing the gospel, obeying the gospel, they shall live. They shall be resurrected. They shall have life imparted to them. Again, this proves that there is a distinct difference between the body and the spirit or the soul. Today is the day of salvation. Let no man fool you about a second chance. Today is the day of salvation. And the scriptures tell us in Hebrews 2 and 9 that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. And that very beautiful scripture that's so familiar to all of us, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But remember, today is the day of salvation. When you hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you are going to be saved, if you're going to have eternal life, it must be while you're still living in this time world. Death is a separation, not only as far as spiritual separation from God, but also physical. It is appointed unto man once to die, Hebrews 9 and 27. So a physical death comes when the spirit leaves the body. It is said of Rachel, who was Jacob's wife, it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died. That's Genesis chapter 35 and verse 18. It came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died. Again, James tells us in chapter 2 and verse 26, the body without the spirit is dead. The spirit survives the death of the body as far as its existence is concerned. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12 and 7. Remember the scripture that I gave earlier in the broadcast from Hebrews, that God is the Father of spirits, Hebrews 12 and 9. So the Bible says here in James that the spirit shall return to God, or in Ecclesiastes 12, 7, the spirit shall return to God who gave it. And we read in regard to the man Stephen, who was stoned outside the gates of Jerusalem, he said to the Lord, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Acts chapter 7 and verse 59. So there is a distinct difference between the physical and the spirit. Now, there will be a resurrection. It is appointed unto man once to die. But after death comes the judgment. And for there to be a judgment, there must be a resurrection. Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. John 5:28 and 29. And I might say here, Jesus did not even hint at the idea that there was 1,007 years between the resurrection of the wicked and the resurrection of the righteous, or the bodies of the wicked and the righteous. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And Paul teaches in the resurrection chapter, 1 Corinthians 15:53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. There will be a judgment, as clearly taught in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, and also in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, Matthew 25:31, and when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. Verse 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Beloved, if you do not know the Lord today, let me encourage you to seek the Lord, that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly, and that you not suffer the pangs of the second death, which is eternal separation from God. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. May the Holy Spirit be able to use them to the good of souls. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing to you. If so, we invite you to write us and let us know. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. And remember, you can download a number of our broadcasts, also a number of issues of our monthly Way of Truth magazine. They're on our webpage, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to tune in next week when again, the Lord willing, will be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.
Amen.